Shavua Tov, Chodesh Tov. Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Navdalid. So let's see, once again, put ourselves into the sugya. So remember that we have our Mishnah that says that if you're bringing a get from Medinat Hayam, you have to say b'fanai nechtam, we had a machlokas Rava and Rabba. According to Rava, the reason that that's important is because what if the woman cannot find Edim to back her up and her husband attacks the validity of the get in court? And so in order to avoid that, we say that in places where we don't have people coming from that country, and that's why it's Badavka from far away, if we don't have Edim, people that come from that country that would be able to identify the signature, because of that, we insist on having this whole rigmarole so that the shliach turns out at the end of the sugya that we learned yesterday, so that the shliach being put in the hot seat, that he has to give over his personal testimony that these things were done and that it was done in front of him, and he knows that he's going to have to stand up to questions that people are going to ask, and that's for sure that the husband wanted to give the get, and so on and so forth. So because of that, we no longer will believe the Yirur HaBaal, even though it really is only a single person that is coming. And then we had Rabba's approach, and according to Rabba, the issue was that we are concerned that perhaps since it's coming from Chutz La'aretz, people over there don't really know what's what, and therefore they may not be aware of the halachas of Lishma. And so because of that, we made this takana. And the truth is, Rov by far know the din of Lishma, so it's not that we really have a problem. The Rabbanan were metaken this, because even according to Rabbi Meir, who holds Rechayesh Lemiuta, this is a miuta de miuta, because certainly the Sefrei Hadayanim are well aware of the dinim of Lishma. However, in order to make certain that we should be able to, it turns out, again, there's a little bit of machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, that according to the way Tosfos understands it, the real issue is that we're afraid that a husband will make trouble for a wife and say that he didn't know anything about Lishma, and he had a friend of his that had a woman who had the same name as him, and had a wife that had the same name as her, and that therefore he brought the get from them. And therefore, in order to be able to make certain that even that type of irur, which in the end Tosfos says really wouldn't have been believed anyway, but it causes problems, and that's called laaz, and to be able to avoid those type of things, we made this takana, because that way we close the door to the lishma issue as well. Now, really, the Mishnah doesn't work out perfectly well according to either Rabba or Rava, as each one points out about the other one's shita. Because Rava says to Rabba, look, I mean, if this was really all about Lishma, why don't we have the Shliach talk about Lishma? I mean, it's a little ridiculous to leave out the main point, isn't it? All he says is, b'fanai nechtam, and then we're going to rely on the fact that we'll ask him questions. Well, was it Lishma? Why don't you just not have him to say that it's Lishma? And we had to answer that as we answered it, that, you know, we're afraid he won't say it properly. We're going to see later on that that, according to Rabbi Meir, would be a disaster, because if you don't do exactly what you have to do, then even if we would ascertain that it was Lishma, it wouldn't help. So we don't want to make things complicated. After all, the takanas are for dummies, and therefore we didn't bother mentioning Lishma. But you must admit that's a little bit stretching it, right? So, says Rava, okay, I don't like that. That's why I didn't want to get involved in the Lishma jazz. And Rava says, well, the Mishnah doesn't work out according to you either, because, I mean, why in the world do we have him say that it was written in front of him? If the writing isn't the issue, and the only issue is the Edus, so then he should only have said before Nai Nechtam. So Rava's got this sort of lame answer, because if we did that, then people would get confused about this, and they would think that this is the equivalent of Kiyum Shtarot, and therefore, in order to make it very clear that this is not Kiyum Shtarot, we had him do the whole jazz, which according to Tosfos really is a broader issue, which is that we want the Shliach to be believable, and the only reason that he's believable is because he's in the hot seat to this extent that he's got to talk about everything. Rashi doesn't buy into that piece. But anyway, that's another side question of the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, how to learn the sugya through. In any event, this led to another question at the end of yesterday, which was, if according to Rabbah, you have to say both b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtam, then you have to identify a Tana who holds that you need both the ketiva of the get lishma and the chatima of the get lishma. Now, it turns out there's this big machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar about whether it's the ede chatima that are karti, they make the essence of the get. And if it's the ede achatima, the ones that are signed on the get, then that would mean that in the act of signing, they are turning the get into the get, and therefore that would be the main moment of lishma. At that moment, everything has to be done lishma, so the chatima essentially stands in for lishma on the whole works. Now, on the other hand, if you hold, like Rabbi Elazar, you don't even need a signature on a get. All you need is Eidei Misira, because according to him, Eidei Misira are karte. In which case, according to Rabbi Elazar, the only meaning of the words in the Pasuk, the Katav La, which we are Metayik, means La Lishma, is a reference to the actual writing of the get. But signing is not even important, because you don't even have to sign. It could just be Nimsar. So we were trying to figure out, so who exactly is Rabbah saying that the Rabbah made a takana that you have to say both b'fanai nechtav and b'fanai nechtam? And we examine the possibility that maybe, according to Rabbi Elazar, perhaps actually, maybe it's just the chatchila, that b'niraisa, that would be good, but maybe the Rabbanan do insist that you have to say b'fanai nechtav as well, b'fanai nechtam as well. We disprove that because he says beferish that it's only because of tikkun olam. That was the last thing we had learned, that according to Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't work out either. And then we tried to say, well, maybe Rabbi Meir also agrees that at least bin Rabbanan, you would have to do the ktiva lishma, not only the chatima lishma. And the last thing that we learned, and let's review that today, right at the bottom of Gimel Amud Beis, so that we get right back into the sugya. No, that you cannot say that, because one line up from the bottom, V'amar Rav Nachman, Omer Haya Rabbi Meir, Afilu Mitzao Ba'ashpa, even if you found this get in a garbage pail, and you had it signed Lishma, it would be kosher. Yeah, okay, but maybe that just means Midiraisa would be kosher, but, I mean, does it really disprove the possibility that according to Rabbi Meir, at least bin Rabbanan, it would require Chatima and Ketiva Lishma? No. Because if that's what it meant, then it shouldn't have said, Rabbi Meir said, even if you find it in a garbage pail. It should have said, Rabbi Meir said, Midiraisa, if you found it in a garbage pail. It's very misleading to say that according to Rabbi Meir, in practical terms, even if you found it in a garbage pail, isn't it? If it isn't true. So Ihachi, therefore says the Gemara, what should it have said? Omer haya Rabbi Meir dvar Torah, midiraisa, if you found it in a garbage pail. So it must mean that according to Rabbi Meir, you really don't have to worry about it. And even if you found it in a garbage pail, and therefore it clearly wasn't written lishma, it was practice that the Sofrei HaDayanim were doing, who cares? You turned it into a get by the act of chatima. And mashma, that he doesn't hold there's any problem with that. Okay, so now we're stuck. So who exactly is Rabbah saying that the Mishnah is insisting that we say b'fanai nechtav v'nai nechtam because of the problem of lishma, since we haven't identified any shita that says that you need both the ketiva and the chatima lishma? Says the Gemara today, well, maybe there's a different issue here. Le'olam Rabbi Elazar. I'm going to go back to what we said before. Now, you told me, but according to Rabbi Elazar, you don't need even the witnesses to be there. So why would you need them to be lishma if they don't have to be there? Ah, that's not necessarily true. It may be worse having the Edim that are not lishma than having no Edim at all. Why is that? Well, look, let me give you an example. Suppose, according to Rabbi Elazar, you had Edim that weren't kosher. And they signed the get, right? So they were relatives, let's say. And now these Edim really didn't matter because you gave the get over in front of Edim Esira anyway. Is that get kosher? No. Well, why not? According to Rabbi Elazar, we could just ignore the Edim, right? Because we don't need Edim. But it's worse, says Rabbi Elazar, if you do have Edim and the Edim aren't good Edim. Because it's called, and this is for Gavi to write down, Mizuyaf Mitocho. On the face of it, it appears to be fake. Because it's got Edim that are useless Edim written in it. And therefore, we don't accept a get like that. In which case, maybe, really, there's the same problem over here. That if there were no Edim, so then Rebbe Elazar didn't make a big deal about it. I don't care, as long as I have Edim, Mesira. But once there are Edim, then those Edim would have to do it Lishma. But as Tosfos says, why? What do I care? If he holds that the din of Lishma was never said on the Edim, I mean, there's nothing Mizuyaf about it, is there? I mean, like, what's the difference? And Tosfos explains, obviously, we're not comparing the two issues. But there would be another problem. Because once we're accept we have Edim there, then there could be a takala that would come out of it if the Edim did it wrong. Namely, that we're going to make a gezera that if the Chatima, we find out for sure the Chatima wasn't done Lishma, people may make the mistake of thinking that the Ketiva also doesn't have Lishma. So because of that, if there are Edim, it makes sense to say that Rebbe Elazar would insist that the Edim would also have to have signed it Lishma. Okay, fine. If that's the case, then it would be possibly worse in this case, and maybe Rabba's pshat in the Mishnah was because of that. That in the event that we do have Edim, it has to be that it was Lishma, and we need Chatiba Lishma. Maybe. Ravashi says, I don't get it. What's the problem? You're pretending that there were only two shitot. Now remember, where were these two shitot? Binogea, someone who writes a get on a tree, right? And you cut down the tree. Now, if you cut down the tree and it's signed after you wrote it, so Rabbi Meir says, that's fine. Because since the signature was done lishma, the issue over here is that the signature was also done on a piece of metatalin, because you already cut down the tree, and therefore there is no problem of v'katav v'natan. So they're all interrelated. If I hold there's no problem of v'katav v'natan, then that means I also hold that this is all that we need to do for Lishma. Rabbi Elazar, on the other hand, according to him, he says we don't need Chatima at all. But Rav Ashi says, look, it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, right there in that same sugya, you need to have everything done on the tree only after it was cut down, both the ketiva and the chatima. So why are you looking to try to make things fit only with Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar? You have a beferish shita over here. Rabbi Yehuda says you need both ketiva lishma and chatima lishma, and I don't know what all this agonizing is. So therefore, let's see that inside. Rav Ashi Amar Hamani Rabbi Yehuda Hi Ditznan Rabbi Yehuda Pasel Achete both Ktivato V'Chatimato B'Talush. So says the Gemara, well, I mean, if we know that we have that Shita, why indeed were we agonizing? I understand. So Mi'ikora my time alone with Mi'alok Rabbi Yehuda, why wasn't that the most obvious thing in the world? I mean, we went through this whole daf looking for who said it. So we could have just said it straight out. No. You see, because, look, it makes sense that we always try to make things work out a Libet Rebbe Meir, if it can. Because remember, Stam Mishnah is a Libet Rebbe Meir. Okay, so then we always start, Madrinan Rebbe Meir, the Stamat Nisin Rebbe Meir. And we hope to be able to work it out here in Gittin, a Libet the Rebbe Elazar. Because we know that we paskin like him this way in Gittin. And Kaimalan Ilkotakavate begitten, it would be nice if we could get the Sugit Abufanay Nechtav, Fanay Nechtav, to be consistent with the Psak of Rabbi Elazar about Edim Mesira. So because of that, okay, we tried our best. Look, Rav Ashi says, I don't like this kvetch in Rabbi Elazar. that maybe it's similar to Mezuyif Mitoch, I think it's easier to say that it's going on Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanan. Now, let me ask you something. Let's read the Mishnah, and you tell me how it works out according to both Rabba and Rava. I don't understand. It says in the Mishnah that according to Rebbe Gamliel, even if you bring it from nearby towns, Rebbe Eliezer says, even if you bring it from surrounded towns, like Kfar Ludim Lelud, as Abaya explained, this is Ayarot Asmuchot LeEretz Yisrael, Umuvloot B'tchum Eretz Yisrael Askinat. So they are, yes, technically speaking, they're outside of the Tchum. And Rashi points out that if you read the list of the cities that are given as the Tchum of Eretz Yisrael on the eastern side of Eretz Yisrael, you've got a lot of cities. Now, Rashi says if you analyze these cities and you speak to Barnea about it, it turns out that some of these cities could be like, I don't know, 10 kilometers further east than the other. So you've got this zigzaggedy gvul. So where exactly is the gvul if it's zigzaggedy? So obviously the gvul is meant to follow the area which would be the way you would build your roads. In other words, you're always going to select the area that it's most easy to traverse, right? So suppose a city is on the eastern side of the road while the road is still going towards a city that is 5 kilometers further east. So all of those cities which are within that zigzag, anything in between a zig and the zag is going to be surrounded by a gvul of Eretz Yisrael, but it itself won't be in Eretz Yisrael, you see, if it's on the other side of the road. So it's a very fascinating thing to note because it's a practical implication of the nature of Muvla'ot, that this is a very standard thing, Muvla'ot, is that this weird situation with Kfar Ludim and Lud. Now, you know, obviously when we're talking about the Gvulais in Eretz Yisrael, they're not necessarily the Gvulais of Olei Bavel. But the point that Rashi is making is that Muvla'ot is absolutely given in the Eastern Gvulais of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so we're talking about that. Now, Rabbi Bar Bachan even points out that he was there. This was the equivalent to Barnea's neighbor in those days. It was Rabbi Bar Bachana. And he said, I was there. And I could tell you that it's so close. Which was Mamish. I mean, Bekubi, we see, was like the entrance to the main square right next to Pumbedita. Anyway, so now explain to me, what is the Tanakama hold? The Tanakama obviously holds that only Lemedinat Hayam, far away. And then we have these other shitas, Rav Gamliel, even if it's near the Gvul, Reb Eliezer, even if it's surrounded by the Gvul, but the Tanakama doesn't agree to that, right? Okay, so what are they arguing about? Well, I mean, the only thing I could think of, my love, Okamifugate, they are arguing about exactly this issue. If you hold that the issue is that they are not Bekiim Lishma, and that's the whole problem that we're talking about over here, is in terms of Bekiim Lishma. So then, that would mean that according to the Tanakama, if we're worried about the issue of Ein Bekiim Lishma, so people that are right near Eretz Yisrael, the technicality of whether they're in the Gvul or out of the Gvul, I mean, they're part basically of the same culture. And so even though technically they're outside of Eretz Yisrael, but I don't need to say anything about Lishma because they know about Lishma. Masha Ein Kein, according to Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer, no, the issue is that these are separate political entities and therefore it may well be that they need a visa to be able to cross the border, and they may not be able to have people that are coming in and out in order to be Mekayim to get. So therefore, these nearby towns are also lo shechi, because it's a different political ruler. In which case, it turns out that the machlokas between Rabba and Rava is a machlokas in the Mishnah, which is crazy. I mean, we would never have a machlokas of Rabba and Rava, which is the essence of the difference in the Mishnah, obviously, says the Gemara, both Rabba and Rava are going to explain the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer in a different way. Rabbah is going to be metaretz that everybody holds like him, and that the issue is lishma. And Rava is going to be metaretz according to his svara, that everybody doesn't hold of lishma, and the issue is only eidim mitzvim l'kaima. Here's how it goes. Rabba will say, obviously, nach, everybody agrees, kuleyama, lefi she'en b'kiin lishma. So what is the machlokas? Ochabaka miflaget. Tanakama sovar, hanikim in the spuchot migmar gemiri. Vota rebegam liel lememar, muvlaot gemiri, smuchot lo gemiri. Look, just because you're near Eretz Yisrael, if you're near the gvul, it doesn't mean that you are exposed to the same type of educational effort, schools and so on, and everybody knows the way things that they would know in Eretz Yisrael. If they're surrounded and it's completely with people all the time from Eretz Yisrael, then they would gemiri. And Rebbe Eliezer holds even muvlaot, you can't rely on that, because even if they know, we're not going to make distinctions on a case-by-case basis, for heaven's sakes. We're going to make one din. And therefore, shalot tachalok b'mininat hayam. Look, either you are in Chutz Laretz or you're not. I mean, let's just start analyzing whether this particular city has decent schools or whether it's close enough to learn. Nah, you can't make a gezeira like that. So according to Rebbe Eliezer, we will never make that type of distinction. Anyway, that's what Rabba would explain. And that, in fact, everybody is really only questioning where to apply lishma. But definitely the issue is the issue of lishma. Whereas Rava will say, nonsense, nobody's worried about lishma. The only question over here is because of the fact that ein edim mitzuyim l'kaima. And, okay, so what's the machlokes? Well, the Tana Kama says, if you've got a town that is near Eretz Yisrael, people come in and out all the time. So Rabbi Gamliel says, look, that's true. When you have a border that's easy to cross, you see the same thing today. When the Arabs would come over and there's all types of ways to sneak in, they manage to sneak in. If you have a straight border and you have a decent border patrol and a wall, they can't sneak in. It's the same thing then. If you're muvlaot, fine, you know, that may be. But smuchot, if there's a decent border, so people are not able to come in and out that easily. And here too, Rabbi Eliezer says, look, you can't start making a distinction about the particular border conditions where you are. We don't want to be chelek b'medinat hayam. So both Rava and Rabba agree that Rabbi Eliezer is not having a substantive machlokas. It's merely a question of whether we make this a straight, easy-to-apply issue or not. All right, fine, you can get away with that. But there's another problem. That's the problem of the machlokas between the Tana Kama and the Rabbanan at the end. Because remember, after Rebbe Gamliel and Rebbe Eliezer said their opinion, we had a restatement of the Tana Kama, except with one very important new word. And that is that the Chachomim say, no, Eino Tzorek, the only ones who need to say, B'fanai Nechtam, B'fanai Nechtam, are people sending a get to Chutz Laretz? I thought the Tana Kama said bringing a get from Chutz Laretz. So there's obviously a machlokas between the Tana Kama, who holds only if you're bringing a get from Chutz Laretz to Eretz Yisrael, and the second Rabbanan hold even if you're bringing a get from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz. I mean, it's obvious what they're arguing on, isn't it? I mean, if you're going to tell me that the Tana Kama, I mean, note the Lashon. The Chachamim Omrim Eino Tzorek Shomer B'fanai Nechtav V'fanai Nechtam, unless you're bringing me Medina Sayam or you're taking the Medina Sayam. So obviously the Tana Kama holds, if you're bringing a get from Eretz Yisrael, you do not need to make it. The B'fanai Nechtav V'fanai Nechtam, so it's clear about what they're arguing. The Tana Kama holds that the problem is Ein B'kiyam Lishma. So if it's coming from Chutz Laretz, from these places where nobody knows anything, fine, I understand that we need to know that it was written Lishma. Why in the world would I need to have V'nai Nechtam when it's coming from Eretz Yisrael to Timbuktu? I mean, in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows that before you need to have it Lishma. So, therefore, the problem must be Lishma, in which case the Tanakhama says so. If you're bringing from Eretz Yisrael, people know Lishma, so you don't have to say it. Masha Inkein, the second Mandi Amar over here, the Chachomim, they hold that that's not the problem of Lishma. The problem is that you don't have people going back and forth all the time. In which case, who cares what direction it is? If you don't have people going back and forth, so then even if you're sending the get from Eretz Yisrael to Timbuktu, the point is that the woman in Timbuktu is not going to be able to get Edom either, right? So therefore, we have to worry about her and about the Irur HaBaal for her. So what do? We say B'vanai Nechtam, V'nai Nechtam. Very simple. So apparently, Rabba and Rava are mamish the machlokas between the Tanakam and the Chachami. That's crazy. So how can we have a machlokas Amoroim about this? Well, obviously here too, Rabba's going to explain the whole thing according to his shita that it's a Lishma issue, and Rava's going to explain it according to his shita that the whole problem is whether Edom are Metsuyim Lekaimo. Now, here's how to do it. Rabba says, look, for sure, the issue is only that Kuleyama agrees we're talking about a problem of Lishma. And, okay, so then can you tell me what possible reason there would be to say B'fadai Nechtam, B'fadai Nechtam, if you're coming from Eretz Yisrael to Timbuktu? Yes. Because remember, the Gezerah is for dummies. I mean, how can you make a one-way Gezerah, really? If people don't know that there's this issue of the B'fadai Nechtam, B'fadai Nechtam, imagine a situation like this. Somebody's living in Timbuktu, and there's been 20 cases over the past 10 years of people bringing Gittin from Eretz Yisrael to the local Besdin. Not once did anybody say these magic words of B'fadai Nechtam, B'fadai Nechtam. They never heard of it. So now when they're going to send a get, they're also going to think that it's perfectly good not to say B'fadai Nechtam, B'fadai Nechtam, and the whole thing will go out of disuse. And therefore, they're making Gezerah. Look, if we're talking about long-distance Gittin, you have to say V'nai Nechtam, V'nai Nechtam. And that way, we won't get confused between directions. Again, the simplification of the Gezerah means that it's more likely that it's going to hold. So it's all a question of Gezeras Molich or to Mevi Kamiflege. So we're worried about people getting mixed up. So the Tana Kama holds, listen, I mean, the only issue is Lishma, we're not going to worry about people getting confused, for heaven's sakes. I mean, we teach people what to do, and therefore the Tanakhama suffer. Why should we make a gezerah because of that? Whereas the Rabbon and Basroi hold that the correct way of making a gezerah is to make it clear that it's very simple. If you're coming from far away, then you have to say V'nai Nechta. Okay, that's Rabba's approach. Okay, that's reasonable. Rabba is Metaritz of the Taimei. Rava says, on the contrary, nobody is worried about Lishma. Everybody holds that the issue is, so the Rabbanan Basroi that you took to be a machlokes with the Rabbanan of the Tanakhama, there ain't no such machlokes. They're simply restating. Here's what the Mishnah does. The Rabbanan said, if you're going from bringing a get from outside of Eretz Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael, so then you've got to say B'fadai Nechtam, B'fadai Nechtam. Then we have these other two shitas. Well, even Rekab Echerger, not far away, or even from a Muvlat. Okay, so then I want to clarify, say the Rabbanan, that look, when we were talking about our shita, it was obviously bidirectional because the issue is whether these places have people going back and forth. So because of that, we need to understand. I want to repeat. The Tanakhama was talking about either direction, and they're only coming to be mefarish, the tam of the Tanakhama. So according to Rava, there is no such machlokas. Tanakhama spoke about one direction. And then after we started talking about what about these towns, what about those towns, so then they came to clarify the sheet of the Tanakhama. Okay. All right. So now you've managed to explain the various shitot in the Mishnah in a way that doesn't impinge upon the issues raised by Rabbah and Rava. Problem, however, still is that if you analyze the Mishnah, not all the cases work out according to either Rabbah or Rava. Let's take the case of, we talked about the very general cases, okay? There's a lot of other issues in the Mishnah. How about the statement in the Mishnah that says, if you bring a get from one different political entity to another political entity, both of which are located far away from Eretz Yisrael, that you have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. Now, this is a major problem. Because what if it's not a different political entity? What if it's the same political entity? What's it saying? What's it implying? Well, it's implying that the only issue is the political entity. But if it would be the same Medina, then even though it was in Medina Tayyam, you would not need b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam. Now, if the problem is lishma, that's ridiculous. If the problem is lishma, then even if you bring a get from next door, you have to say b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam, because you need to address the lishma problem. So the Mishnah, with this case, seems to be telling you that the problem is 100% not lishma. The problem is that you need edim that are mitzuyim l'kaimo, and therefore, if it's the same political entity, you will have edim l'kaimo. If it's a different political entity, you won't have edim l'kaimo. I mean, I think this is pretty darn clear, isn't it? So therefore, it works out very well according to Rava, but it makes no sense to Rava Kasha. Well, says Rava, yes. If you want to insist that the diuk that you made is the correct diuk, then okay, you've got a question. But this is not the correct way to understand the implications of this case. What you should have understood is, read it like this. Implication is not that Ba'ota medina b'medinat hayam lo tzorech. That isn't the point. That, but if it would be in the same medina. No. The way to understand the issue is that the implication is not the Ota Medina Medina Tayam, but rather the same situation not in Medina Tayam. A Medina la Medina be Eretz Yisrael over there would not require it at all. And therefore, that's coming to tell me exactly what I say, that you should know that even if it's a separate political entity, if it's an Eretz Yisrael, you don't need to. Why not? Well, because after all, what you're telling me is that I only have to worry about the question of Lishma. So the Mishnah is going out of its way to teach you my pshat, Rabba's pshat, exactly. And that's the correct diuk to make. In Eretz Yisrael, it could even be one separate political entity. And then, wait a minute over here, Rabbah, that it says beferish in the Mishnah. That the last case that we have in the Mishnah is that if you're bringing a get in Eretz Yisrael, then eino tzarich lomar b'fanai nechtav b'fanai nechtam. I understand. Why would we say one case and say, oh, amazing implication, that if it's the same Medina, and if it's a different Medina in Eretz Yisrael, the Mishnah says anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to say b'vanai nechtav, b'vanai nechtam. So, I mean, if that were the direction of the implication, it would be a little bit repetitious, don't you think? No, says Rabbi, I don't think at all. Because basically what's happening is that the Mishnah is repeating twice, the way I understand it, in different ways. It's repeating twice that there is no problem of b'fanai nechtav, b'fanai nechtam in Eretz Yisrael, right? And you're asking, what it boils down to is that you're asking me, well, why repeat it twice? And why say it in these two ways? Okay, I could explain that to you very well. Because if it had only said it once, I'm going to explain the Gemara outside first, because Rashi has a different approach to Tosfos. But the bottom line that both Rashi and Tosfos would agree upon is the way that I'm saying it now. And then we'll look into the Gemara and see how it fits into the Gemara, okay? But everybody agrees that the following statement is true. if it would only have said it once, then I would have thought that would mean in the event that you did it wrong and you didn't say b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam, then it would be okay. But you still have to say it l'chatchila. Therefore, it says it again to make it clear that no, it doesn't even need to be said at all. Both Rashi and Tosfos agree that that's true. Now, the question is, how are those words to be read in the Gemara? So let's take a look inside, and we'll see the difference between Rashi and Tosfos, okay? So, according to Rashi, we make the following diak. We ask the question of Hobahedya Katanilat says beferish. How maybe get Beret Israel in a tzorch lomar befanai nechta befanai nechta. Well, imeahi, if you would tell me only that, what is that? So Rashi learns that is going back to the original statement of the diak in the Resha. And the meaning of the words Medina la Medina be Medina Tayam, but in Eretz Yisrael, even Medina la Medina, that, if it had only said that, I would have said that that's referring to Bidiavad. Therefore, it says it again, that if you're bringing in Eretz Yisrael, Eino Tzorech, right? Now, that could be very misleading to you, because what you might think is that what Rashi is saying, that therefore we say this case to say Eino Tzorech, to make it clear that you don't need to even lechatchila. That's what you would think, but that's not true. Rashi agrees with Tosfos that the meaning of Eino Tzorech does not necessarily mean lechatchila, you don't need to. Because the word Eino Tzorech has multiple meanings. One simple meaning could be you don't have to take the get back and re-give it to her, which is also a bidiyavad, you see, and therefore you still should have lechatchila said it, because later on we're going to say exactly those words. You need, the same word, you need, tzorech, you have to take it back from her and give it to her. So eino tzorech could be understood that way. Therefore, Rashi is only making this statement because it's said twice, not because of the change in language. The reason that Tosfos doesn't like Rashi's approach is because when you say the words, well, imeahi, from there, it's weird to say that from there means the place that was there that we mentioned 10 minutes ago. It's mashma from there, from the place that I just said now. And therefore, according to Tosfos, it's saying, given this last case of anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, not Medina Labina, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, Eino Tzorech, I would have thought that that means Bidiyavad. Well, you can understand why that's more difficult to say Bidiyavad, and he has to explain why it's Bidiyavad, because Eino Tzorech doesn't necessarily mean here, you don't have to say it. Could mean you don't have to take the get back, okay? But it boils down to the same issue. It's the repetition. It's the double statement about not needing to say in Eretz Yisrael, fanai nechtam, fanai nechtam. That doubling of the language teaches me that even lechatchila, you don't need to. That's the important nekuda. And therefore, says Rabbah, that's why the Mishnah says it twice, but don't think that there's any implication that you would actually have to worry about this, and that the diak is what you're claiming, that you don't need to say it in Ota Medina. That's not true. You do need to say it even in the same city and next door, if it's Medina Tayam. The only implications were meant to be the opposite statement is true in Eretz Yisrael, not that there's a difference between in town and out of town or out of country in Medina Tayam. Okay, so therefore, let's just say the last words inside. Imi ahi, remembers the machlokas what ahi is. Hava mina hanimilat bidiavad, hava lechatchila lo. Comes along the double statement, kamash malan. Now, actually, there were those who started on the other end, meaning that ika de mosiv lahachi, there were some who said, no, wait a minute, the more obvious diak is actually the way we answered it. And the idea would be that the real diak would be the opposite. and namely that instead of saying Medina l'Medina, it meaning not Medina Medina, you don't have to Chutz Laretz. The first diak was exactly what Rabbah said. So it started this way. Mashma from this statement, that if it were two different Medinot in Eretz Israel, that you would not need to say V'nai Nechtav V'nai Nechtam, which is wonderful, according to Rabbah, because there's no Lishma, but is not wonderful according to Rava. Because according to Rava, if it's a different political entity, then you run into the problem of not having Edim L'Kaimo. So what would be the explanation, according to Rava, why is it okay in Eretz Yisrael for a different Medina? Okay? So in this version, of course, Rava insists that the correct diak is the anti-Rabbah diak that we started with in the first Lashon. And therefore, he says, no, you shouldn't think that the implication is Mimidina l'midina be'eretz Yisrael lo tzorech. You should rather say Ba'ota medina be'midina tayam lo tzorech, because you're in the same political entity. Yeah, but Rava, you got a problem, buddy. Because what are you saying? But what would be the din of Medina l'Medina b'Eretz Yisrael? What's the din? You're telling me that you need to say b'v'nai nechtav v'nai nechtam because it's a different political entity? So then why the heck does the Mishnah even mention where the Medina is? You could make a very simple statement. Anytime you're bringing a get from one country to another where a visa is required, you need to say v'nai nechtav v'nai nechtam. I mean, this is crazy. Start making these diukim. Is it in Chutz Laretz, different countries? In Eretz Yisrael, different countries? What the heck? That has nothing to do with the price of eggs in China, for heaven's sakes. So that's a terrible explanation. Okay, fine, you're right. All right, so what's Rava going to do? I'll tell you very simple. You're right. The diak is exactly what you said. And the truth is, I agree. You do not need to say, Medina, Medina, Be'eretz Yisrael, that there's no witnesses and therefore you need to say. You don't. I agree you don't. Why? Because in Eretz Yisrael you have Oleg Regalim. So even if people have a hard time coming up, look. I mean, you can even take a plane to the Hajj, you know? So if you can take a plane to the Hajj, you can certainly take a plane to go to the Beis HaMikdash for Aliyah L'Regel. So even if you're in a different country, that's okay, because at least you can find Edim during Yom Tov. So there's no problem. Yeah. Wait a minute. That's all very nice. Bizman Shebeit HaMikdash Kayam. I mean, what if there's no Ola Regolim? Because Ein Beit HaMikdash Kayam. So, I mean, the Mishnah's not talking about the time of the Beis HaMikdash here. Yeah, that's true. But remember that in Eretz Yisrael, you have Batei Dinim all over. And those Batei Dinim are empowered in ways that the Beis Din in Chutz Laretz is not. And therefore, you have people coming in all the time for court cases. So because of that, there will always be Edim Mitzuyim Lekaimo. Okay, one more question I have. What about Rabbah? How does Rabbah understand the case in the Mishnah of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? Reb Shimon ben Gamliel says, forget about political entities. Afilu mehegemonia lehegemonia. Even if you've got one gang in charge of one area and another gang in charge of another area. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, yeah, you know what? You know why he says this, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? Because this is a real problem. There was a city that was in charge of gangs, you know? And there were shtei hegemoniot. The name of the town was Asasiot. I'll bet Barnea doesn't even know where that neighborhood is. Ha, ha, ha. We got him. So Asasiot Shema, that's why they call it Asasiot, because it's so juicy. Asasit means it's juicy. And if you've been waiting for years to catch Barnea out, this is a juicy find. So it was called...
Essay again.
Oh, look at this. All of a sudden he knows.
I just want to say that half an hour before Shir, I made up my mind I'm going to get to Timbuktu. Just enough of this not being the center of the world. If I've been to the Sahara Desert, I can make it to Timbuktu. I'm checking flights.
Oh my gosh. I should have kept my mouth shut. Okay. Anyway, so because of that town in Eretz Yisrael that was under the control of these conflicting gangs, so therefore they were makpidim zelzeh, and that's why they needed to say mehegmonia lehegmonia. So fine, according to Rava, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel makes sense because there's no edim. But according to Rava, this town is in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore everybody knows about Lishma. So what are you talking about? What do I care about gangs? Gangs are irrelevant. There's no way for Rabbi to get out of this. It's obviously a fatal question. Because either it's going to turn out that the machlokas of Rava and Rabbi is the machlokas Tanoim, the Mishnah, which is unacceptable, or it's going to turn out that Rabbi is wrong. Okay, so what are you going to do now? We're going to bite the bullet, friends. And we're going to say, what made you think that Rabbi thought the only issue is Lishma? Rabbi agrees that there's also the issue of Einei Mitzuyim L'Kaimo. So who cares? So therefore, Rabbi holds of Rava. Rava doesn't hold of Rabbi, but Rabbi holds of Rava. So if you run into a problem, where are you going to run into a problem? Outside of Asasiot. You won't, because there's places that either will be there for the Aliyah L'Regel, or there'll be Batei Dinim. Fine, so you won't run into problems. This is a special case, even according to Rabbah. You're not going to be able to find witnesses, and we're still worried once we've made up our mind. Remember, we mentioned this earlier. When we talked about Tosfos' approach to the issue, we're going to see it gets more complicated tomorrow, but we talked about Tosfos' approach to the issue that ultimately our problem is always taking into consideration. Remember when we talked about, is this a kula or is it a chumrah? Once we're taking this into consideration, we are trying to avoid, ultimately, the irur to the woman which causes laws, and that's really what the whole thing is about, according to Tosfos. So once that's true, so then we are left with this question of what happens if the husband makes a problem. So, okay, so Rava agrees with Rava. So wait a minute. If Rava agrees with Rava, so what are the differences? Because before we said there were three differences, right? I mean, before we said that there's going to be a difference, that according to Rava, you don't need a problem. You don't need, rather, a Medina, the Medina in Eretz Yisrael, because anyway of the Aliyah L'Regel. So we've already cut out that difference between them. Remember, before we thought at the first daf, when we asked, well, what's the difference between them? So we thought that there would be a difference of a Medina la Medina in Eretz Yisrael. That according to Rava, that would be a difference, what you would need to say, l'fanai nechtav, l'fanai nechtav. And according to Rava, you wouldn't, because wherever it comes from, it's lishma. But now that we're saying that even Rabbah agrees to Rava, the Gemara is saying, that is no longer a difference. But that was already no longer a difference, right? Because we said that according to Rava, we were wrong about that. We already admitted that according to Rava, we were actually not going to worry about Medina la Medina. So why all of a sudden are we now raising the issue? 5 minutes ago, didn't we say that according to Rava, there's no problem in Eretz Yisrael because there's always going to be Edim because of Aliyah L'Regel or because of Batei Dinim? So we've already crossed out one of the three reasons, right? Why did we wait until now to ask, well, then what's the difference? What do you mean, what's the difference? The other two reasons are still different. The other two reasons that we spoke about are still going to be exactly the same nafkamina. If two people bring it, so then it's the equivalent of Kiyum, and you don't need Befanai Nechtav according to Rava, or in the same country, Medinat Hayam. According to Rava, that's not a problem because we're not worried about Lishma. According to Rava, it is the same issues. So why are we waiting till this point? So Tosfos understands the reason why we're waiting till this point is there's still a difference, because until we got to now that Rava holds of Rava, we could say that there's a difference in places in Eretz Yisrael where there are no Batei Dinim Kivuim. Okay. Rashi says, the point over here that we're asking now is, on both issues that we raised before, if we said that there's Eila Regalim, so now that means you can no longer say Medina Le Medina, right? That's according to Rava. But we also just gave an answer according to Rava, and that would be that you still would need Tzarech L'Kaimo if there was a problem of witnesses getting around. Okay, so then that means from both points of view, we now have to look at it, that there cannot be three differences between them anymore. So what are the differences? Well, the differences are the remaining two. Mai binayu, ike binayu dat yu betray, inami bota medina, bimedinat hayam. The difference could only be the two out of the three issues that we said before. If you're worried about lishma, I don't care how many people bring it, you still need to say b'fanai nechtav v'nai nechtam. If you're worried only about Edim Mitzuyim L'Kaimo, then if two people come, then you don't need to say b'fanai nechtav v'fanai nechtam. Why? Remember, that was a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. According to Rashi, since you've got two people bringing it, you don't need to worry about Kiyum. According to Tosfos, why the heck don't you need to worry about Kiyum? What makes you think that these two shluchim know who the witnesses are and can recognize their signature? And even if they do, what makes you think that they're going to hang around for the next 20 years? We're worried about some future attack on the validity of the get. And therefore, according to Tosfos, the issue was, if two people bring it, so then it would be the equivalent of having testimony that the Baal divorced, sent this divorce with us, and then you don't need any more than that, because that's the equivalent of the Baal giving the get in front of us. That's what we're looking at. We never ask for the Baal himself to say, b'fanai nechtam, b'fanai nechtam. Fine. Those were the two approaches. So that's one difference between them, and that was the case of two people coming. And the other difference between them is if you're in a place and the person sends a get from next door down the street or somewhere in the same Medina, according to Rava, there's no problem. According to Rabba, there is. Even though you've got witnesses, Rabba has the additional consideration of Lishma. Okay, so that does not wrap up our sugya by any means, but we're getting closer. As I say, the plot thickens. And so we will, Bezrat Hashem, see you on Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh now. We'll see you in the morning of Rosh Chodesh as well, Bezrat Hashem, to continue with the next exciting episode of B'fanai Nechtav U'B'fanai Nechtam. Bum, 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 bum. Good Chodesh Tov.
Ready before it goes. Are we meeting with these guys to live with Ready on Shabbat tonight?
We have to have a proposal.
Wait a minute. Barnea was just about to complain that we don't know what time we're meeting tomorrow. And you're talking about Shavuot? What comes first? Shavuot or tomorrow?
I'm ready to be very proud. I tagged along to one of Barnea's tours, and Barnea choked on something. So I took the bottle, and I started waving at him furiously, and it disturbed him terribly. It really hurts me big time.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, it looks like Daniel is on your side over here. We got a lot of clapping hands. So I think he wants to also wave things in front of Barnea. Was that it, Daniel? You were clapping at the waving in
exactly,
front?
Exactly, yeah.
Of course. All right, so what do we do about tomorrow morning, gentlemen? We always have this problem. We're meeting so late. Can we meet any later? You want to meet even later? Or can we manage? Shmona? Shmona. We've even got a smile from Elroy on Shmona. Gosh, hard to resist a smile. Does anybody else, do we have any objections to Shmona? Is Shmona okay in a pinch?
Richie's voting.
Rich is voting with his feet. He's walking out. Okay. Reb Chaim, it's good. Shmona is good. Okay, excellent. All right then, so we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and then we'll take up the issue of what we do for Shavuos.
11? 11:30 at Alon's house. 11:30 Daf Yomi. It's an issue. 11:30 Daf Yomi. Shavuot Shir starts at 12:30.
What do you mean? We never. We never do Shavuot at Alon's. I thought we were. I thought we were all going over to Gavi's. Okay, we'll take it up. Kol tov everyone in El Yeshua si eftach v'lo efchad. Ezrat Hashem, b'surot tovot. Chodesh tov.
Recording.